Cheech, top of the circle, Horton, the drive, score! The Bruins knock out Montreal!
Big Bad Bruins podcast. That's right, we are back from our postponement just like the Bruins are, and we're ready to rock and roll here on episode number 70. And Chris, happy new year. It's still appropriate to say that, and happy new Bruins year, because it seems like things have turned the corner a little bit here.
Am I speaking to it with again?
Who's this? Good question. Who are, you're Chris, right? You know, I think the only reason I know it. That is because the only people I host shows with are named Chris. So the odds of your name being Chris is pretty high. So, yes, that's right. We get together about as frequently as we run national presidential elections in this country. And sometimes we have to reintroduce ourselves, but no, we're excited to be back in here. Life, unfortunately, has gotten in the way of us doing the show for both of us. So you know, but we're happy to be here. We're happy to be able to talk some Bruins, and we're happy to talk some positivity, because you know, this season, I'm you know, Chris, I am so still confused based on just the timeline of everything. Like the bubble season has screwed up my mind. Like I feel like we've had four seasons between then and now, but the reality of it is it's been like 12 months. So like,
right.
I you know, my perception of everything has just been out of whack. And obviously you throw in the wrinkle of the Bruins and obviously a lot of other teams having to go on a bit of a hiatus to kind of curb the spread of COVID, within, the several organizations. And since then though, it seems like, just like that bubble pause, or that pause before they went into the bubble to finish that season hurt the Bruins, maybe this little break and pause is going to help the Bruins. Because so far out of this break, 5-1, and all of a sudden the things that were plaguing this team, you know, not scoring enough, first of all, only getting scoring from the top line, a problem again that's as old as you, and you know, just overall just kind of mediocre play, well, all of a sudden they're looking a lot better. And I'm not gonna, you know, all of a sudden get too over the top, but I'm pretty excited about what we're seeing, because it looks like some of these line changes may actually be more than just a band-aid. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's working right now. You go back to the last five games, Bruins put up 5-3, 2-5, and 7. Mm-hmm. So the offense is finally waking up. They break up the top line, put Pasta down on the second line with Hall, and lo and behold, who's starting to wake up? Hall. Coincidence? Probably not. People have been kind of pushing for the narrative for a while, break up that line, because like you said, they always seem to be they're a one-trick pony along the way. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, you said on the top line, you beat the Bruins. Now, all of a sudden, he's starting to move the pieces around. He puts Craig Smith up top. He works out. Anyone could basically play wing with St. Patrice and Marchand, let's be real. You all know where I'm heading with this, so I'm just going to get this out of the way right now. David Krejci. Now, is it my understanding that he actually asked Bruce for Pasternak to be on his right wing, or is it just suggested? Do you know?
I don't know for sure, but
because the way I read it, it sounded like he asked for it. and he was basically told no. That pisses me off to no end. Why did you not do that when Krejci needed a goddamn winger for all of those years? And don't give me the bullshit that it wouldn't work. You can't set up a line for a handful of games and say it's not going to work and pull the plug and you're done. Don't give me that bullcrap. Like, don't. That's foolish talk. Well, David Pastrnak and Krejci are both elite players. They can figure it out. So you could have had – take Hüller out of the equation now and say Krejci's there from last season. It's a minute now, but
– yeah, well
– put Smith up top, and then you have Hall, Krejci, and Pasta. They get it going, woof.
Well, and that's you know, it sucks because, yeah, you know, you think back and you think, what if? But I think the positive, at least the silver lining in all this, is that it looks like he's made that decision. I'm talking about Bruce Cassidy now, before it was too late. And one of the decisions that he made, and this is actually something we talked about on our last episode, like, you know, whatever it was, a leap year ago or whatever.
Right.
Putting Charlie Coyle up on the top two lines is just not good for Charlie Coyle.
No.
Because it puts him in a position that he's set up to fail. Now, all of a sudden, what is he doing? He's playing third line minutes. Guess what?
Yeah,
he's playing pretty damn well. So,
yes, he is.
So we're seeing a more appropriate distribution of talent and balancing of these lineups. And again, I mean, I hope it's not just temporary, because I think it's working. You know, the first couple of games...
Well, close in the pudding right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you think about it. The first couple of games, you're like, all right, Buffalo, Detroit, let's see what happens. But since then, you know, they've beaten the Lightning.
Yep.
They, you know, obviously the game last night against the Capitals. And, you know, you're all of a sudden, you're looking, you're like, oh, okay, this team might have a little bit of sustained success. And, you know, one of the issues coming out of this break was that this Bruins team was, and I know plus minus goal differential isn't, you know, necessarily a great stat, but when you're borderline even goals for, goals against, that is not a Boston Bruins team. They have regularly been one of the better teams when it comes to goal differential. It speaks to their goaltending, and it also speaks to how good their offense has been. Now, you know, the biggest thing going for the Bruins right now is the fact that they've played fewer games than pretty much every one of their competitors because of just how the schedule and all the things kind of broke for them early in the season. And it looks like they're starting to play their best hockey, which is great because they're going to start having to play a lot of games in very few days to make up for this. But if they can keep this momentum going, all of a sudden, them and the Lightning are going to be right neck and neck at the top of this conference. Same with, like, the Panthers.
Yeah, well, the other thing I was just thinking about, the move to bring Pasta down woke him up too, because he was like a zombie on the first one there for a while.
Now, all of a sudden,
he's playing loose. And it's just strange, like how sometimes a coach can just move one piece and boom, it levels out across the board.
Well, I mean, again,
and let's make no mistake about it. If Pasta plays subpar along the way, you're in trouble.
Well, and that's the problem, because, you know, in the past, you put all your eggs in one basket, and that would be the top line. So, you know, if those guys started to struggle, then, you know, you were very limited with goal scoring. But you still won a lot of games because you had a lot of great goaltending. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Don't worry, folks. The return of the prince, return of the king, is upon us, and we would regret it if we did not mention it.
Someone better give Craddy a bucket, because he's going to have to cool off with that intro with his man Tuca.
I'm so happy, and it's like this is not an indictment on Swayman or Ullmark. I've actually loved the chemistry that the two of them built, and look, they're performing almost identically, which is pretty impressive when you think about it. But you're talking about one of the best goaltenders in the league over the last decade or so. And I know some of you have tried to deny it for years and crazy enough as it is, those people are Bruins fans. But, you know, you're talking about not just a really good goaltender, but a great goaltender. And I'm excited for his potential return. I was going to introduce this by talking about that young buck down in Providence that's getting a lot of attention. But prior to the start of this recording, he had been released from his tryout, which again seems to be indicating his imminent return. So, what are your thoughts, man? You're excited? Are you excited for this return?
I can't stop laughing just thinking about what I'm going to read on Twitter.
Oh, so, man. You know what when, that's when you know the Bruins are back.
Listen, I don't want to say what I always say, but I have no choice now when it comes to Bruins fans. You know what I think. They only happen when they're miserable. I mean, that should be on my like tombstone when I die. Here lies Slacky.
Yeah.
Boom. But I think this has been in the cards for quite a while.
Yeah, they really haven't been coy about it.
I'm curious, like, how long of a contract this is going to be. Is it 1 year? Sounds like it's a 1 year. What happens after this 1 year's up? You know, I'm more curious what the plan is going forward, more so than knowing Rask is back, because we've always known he was coming back.
Well, obviously Swayman, I think, is viewed as a potential future workhorse for this team, and you know, having him share time with Tuukka or Linus Ullmark for this year, next year, I don't think is that big of a deal. So
I don't think you can go a three goalie rotation.
No. I mean, there's obviously a decision that's going to have to be made, whether it's a trade or what. You know, that'll be interesting, obviously. But you're talking about bringing back one of your, three, four best goalies in franchise history?
Easy.
And again, that's just throwing a bone to some of the anti-Tuukka crowd there,
so they don't show up at my doorstep
with pitchforks.
If you can't look realistically at the Bruins goaltending along the way and not think Rask is a top four goalie minimum, your hatred is stronger than anything I can even recognize. Plain and simple. He's easy top four. Easy.
Yeah, and
I don't think it's even really close. Can you even – you can't really have a discussion saying he's not, can you? Really? I don't think
No, I mean, Derry Cheevers, Tiny Thompson, Tim Thomas, obviously. But that's the thing. It's like, where do you put – I think a lot
Let's
of people –
Let's face it, though. A lot of those old-timers, all due respect to them, great players, but 99% of us never saw them play.
Period. No, that's true. Exactly. And, you know –
So we can't really say, okay, yeah, this person here elevates a little bit higher than here.
And they've had goalies come through that – have had very nice careers, just not necessarily with the majority played with the Bruins. You know, you talk about a guy like Bill Ranford, you know, he came over for a while, you know, remember Felix Potvin?
Oh yeah.
I loved Felix the Cat. That was fun. I was always hoping that Curtis Joseph would spend a little bit of time late in his career the Bruins.
Just to kind of like keep continuing, I'm not like taking a shot at Cheese or anyone like that. I mean, he's been on the show before. Great guy. Mm-hmm. Funny as hell. If you haven't heard that episode, go back and check it out. I think it's a really good episode. But a lot of it comes down to preference. I mean, even taking sense, my favorite goalkeeper that I've ever seen the Bruins is Moog.
Yeah, I was going to say, we didn't even mention
him. He's my favorite. He never won a cup in Boston. It doesn't matter.
A lot of players never won a cup in Boston, so he's not exclusive to that.
That's true. But, I mean, a lot of times people are like, cup only. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters. And sometimes, I get that argument at times, but there's also another argument where stats don't lie.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know,
there's been plenty of times where Tuukka Rask has played like shit in elimination games, no doubt. But there's also been a lot of times where he saved their ass many times.
Yeah, they're the only reason they're in that game.
Exactly.
So, like,
so and, you got to have a give and take here, people. It can't just be one side, like, oh, he sucks because he's never done this.
Well, and that's the easy cop out, because I do think there is an extra level that you get elevated by finishing the job and winning. However, if you're going to sit there and stake claim or die on the hill that Tuukka Rask is not a big game goaltender when he's twice brought this team to within a game or two games of winning a Stanley Cup, I mean, that's just absurd. It's like, you know, and I'm going to bring football into the mix real quick because, you know, I think it's relevant. It's like saying the 2007 Patriots weren't a great team because they lost a lead in the Super Bowl in the last minute and a half. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, we recognize that they're never going to be considered the greatest because they never actually won that season.
Just go right ahead and rip the hearts out of Patriot fans on the Bruins podcast. The playoffs are coming up.
Look, I thought this was going to be a very appropriate comparison. But the point being is, like, the idea that people claim that Tuukka Rask isn't a big game goaltender because he hasn't won a Stanley Cup is utterly absurd, because he's twice, again, brought this team to the finals. And, you know, again, to your point, despite some games where maybe he didn't have his strongest effort, the only reason they're in the position that they were in was because of Tuukka Rask. So he is a great goaltender, and I hope, you know, obviously for many reasons that he gets a Stanley Cup, because that means the Bruins have won a Stanley Cup, but mostly just to put an end to that just utterly absurd narrative that he's not that guy when, you know, as crazy as it sounds, if he wins a Stanley Cup, you can make an argument he's been the greatest goaltender in Bruins history. You add in the longevity, you add in just, you know, obviously where he ranks among other goalies in the franchise history, and what are you going to say? And it's unfortunate that what's holding him back is simply, in the case of
the hump,
simply in the case of, like, say, the 2019 playoffs, winning 15 games and not 16. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. So
the other thing that he's always going to be tied to is a 3-0 blown lead.
Yep. Yeah. When again, but, yeah, there's yeah. a lot of reasons why they lost that series.
Another tidbit from when we had Recky on. Recky specifically said that was almost a good thing for them because it taught them what they had to do.
Mm-hmm. Because we saw it play out the very next year.
Boom.
Yeah.
Cut. Like, simple. Well, I mean, it's just little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not forget that Krejci did break his wrist in game 4. So
yeah, that was – and we both talked about – excuse me. We both talked about that as being kind of the – obviously the kind of the catalyst to that downfall.
There's no guarantee they actually get there anyways if you know, in 2010, because you were in the Blackhawks again.
Yeah, well, they were a lot better team. They were a lot better team in 2010 than they were in 2013.
Oh,
I'm talking about the Blackhawks. So the 2010 Bruins team and the 2013 Bruins team. Similar. You know what I mean? Like, I think that 2013 team overachieved a little bit. But
yeah,
you know, when they got to that Stanley Cup final.
Bergeron was in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think they elevated their play to the absolute highest that could have possibly gone, and they were still that close, because, like, yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, unfortunately, they should have won
that series. Realistically speaking, they really should have.
But no, unfortunately, them the breaks. So that's where we are. But
good another thing is, I want to mention before we keep going, you got to give a shout out to the Young Bucks too, Oscar Steen and.
Oh yeah, yep, fighting his way onto the roster right now.
I suck at names. I think that's Antoine Bleed. Whatever, you know what I'm talking about. He's been solid too. So that's the other thing, that right now you got Young Bucks stepping in and they're doing a job, and the team's not missing the beat.
Well, you mentioned Eric Howla too already, and Eric Foligno, both free agent signings that had combined for what, one goal prior to the break,
right,
and now they're starting to putting points on the score sheet. So, you know, there's a lot of good things working for this Bruins team, and you know, you hope that this change is really something that's going to stick, because it looks like, you know, something that we've been just begging for years, just balanced scoring. And all of a sudden you're seeing Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak heat up, and obviously Taylor Hall is scoring goals that aren't open net goals. So, you know, that's a good thing. And he's starting to heat up, and like, you know, Craig Smith is benefiting from being on. I mean, Craig Smith is a great player, a really good player in and of himself. But to very your point, pretty. Putting him on a line in between Marchand and Bergeron, yeah, guess what? You're going to get better just by virtue of that. So I think that's a smart thing. Like, use that talent that the Bruins have to better the other players around them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, bring Pasta down, help Taylor Hall out, give him that elite player on his side or on his line to help elevate his game. And you know, you might, again, get better balance like we're seeing now. So I very happy, Chris.
It's possible, right?
Yes. Did I get it right, finally? That's right.
Speaking of possible, people, I want you guys to give Ian Glendon a bunch of crap, because I've been on the show for 2 years and I still haven't got my possible shirt yet. So give him shit in all turns, okay? Just give it to him.
I'm sorry.
Where's my possible shirt?
I've been working on a double-breasted button-down shirt that says anything is possible, but it's a little bit tougher to make. Especially one that was made in the 70s, as opposed to getting a t-shirt. So you're going to just have to be patient.
I was already, 60 years old in 1970. Yeah. So you have that going for you.
Exactly.
The other thing we got to keep in mind is what's going to happen with the Brusk now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, does that actually get – is going to get moved to who? I mean, you hear a bunch of names on Arizona that's going to mention. Who knows, really?
I think he ultimately does get moved, because even if – you know, at this point, I think – we're at the point now where it's just best for both sides, I think, to eventually just move on. And I think if the Bruins, you know, change course here and decide, oh, you know what, maybe we'll just try to, you know, force the issue, we might be looking at the same situation later in the season, and you can't trade them at that point. So I think despite playing a little bit better and despite seemingly, you know, everything going smoothly, I think you still pull the trigger and just, you know, for both player and side, you end up moving on and, you know,
try
something else.
It seems like it. Yeah, just weird, because he's such a frustrating player. He really is. Mm-hmm. He's got the tools to succeed. It's just like sometimes you just can't get over the hump. It's so maddening watching. And yeah. I don't hate Jake DeBrusk. He's just a frustrating player to watch at times. So, do you have anyone in mind for a player potentially? Any interest in anyone
I mean,
in particular, or just looking for a decent trade?
I think just a decent trade. I don't think this should be a, you know, use him to go get a specific target type of thing. Like, you know, you hone in on one guy. I think you just, again, I think this is going to be a benefit for both team and player. So you go and try to get good value. And that sort of means seeing what happens when we get a little bit closer to the trade deadline, because that's when you know different players or more players are going to become available. And it could also create a better opportunity for them to get the best value for him. And I think you just move in that direction. So in the time being, let him hopefully increase his value. You know what I'm saying? Like, get him out there. Yeah. If he performs well, great. The Bruins not only will benefit from that in team success, but they could potentially benefit come trade deadline when they're looking to upgrade or whatever. So,
I hear sirens in the back. That's generally the sign of Russ Blackie to get the hell out of Dodge.
I was gonna say you might want to start running there,
yeah.
Chris.
I mean, a name that kind of intrigues me out in Arizona is Clayton Keller. I don't know if he's available, but I'd go for him. 33 games, 12 goals, 14 assists. Left-handed shot, 23. Sign me up.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. That, you know,
I mean, I don't know what it would cost. Kratzky will get there after he hears this, but
yeah. Well, like I said,
it's like a my over under for like Kratzky messages and episodes, like what, 5 maybe.
talking about players that you like and everything like that. Like, look, that's what I'm saying. Go out and find value. Go out and find something. Don't, you know, Don't keep yourself down by saying, look, we want this guy and this is who we want for Dake. But no, just go out and find the right person. You know, don't go into it pretty, you know, with tunnel vision. Then I think, again, you know, at the end of the day, I think both sides will benefit. I like I said, it's just at that point now, though. You know what I mean? It's just at that point. It's like, okay, how many, you know, how many times are we going to talk about, okay, is Jake DeBrusk going to elevate his game, or is this sustainable when he does elevate his game? And it's just like rinse and repeat. And I'm just, I'm ready to move on. And I think he is too. I think his request was sincere. So,
yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. Hey, I guess what? You can always go on and get a Vander Kane, right?
Oh man.
I'm kidding.
It's like negative 12 out here, and you're cracking these jokes today. I'm ready to jump outside in shorts and cool off from these hot takes today.
Yeah, well, you know what? Like I said, that was not serious. I have no interest in that.
I'm not running though. It's just going to be kind of a little glance out the door. Okay, I'm back.
What I am interested in though, Chris, is tomorrow night.
Yeah,
the Habitants. The Montreal Canadiens, the team that has a logo that looks coincidentally like a toilet seat.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I miss my expletive funny, the like, Habs t-shirt that I used to wear that made it look like a toilet seat as well. But
it's funny, like last year when they're in the Cup Finals, people are like, aren't you going from Montreal? No.
Of course not.
I'd rather both teams lose, but never from Montreal. You can't do it. I'm sorry. We've had this discussion before.
That's
I don't care if Montreal's taking on anybody. I'm not going for Montreal.
No. I'm the same way. My father,
God rest his soul, if he ever seen me even root for the Canadians, he'd wake up out of his grave, beat my ass, and go back down there. Be like, okay, boy, don't do it again.
Yeah. I was going to say, he might bring you with him back.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I couldn't do
that's
it.
That's an image, right?
Like, I was going to say, the most conflicted I would probably ever be is if somehow the Canadians and the Maple Leafs ever met in the final, but then I sit back and I laugh because I'm like, Toronto's never making it to the Stanley Cup final. Like, so what am I got to worry about?
False hope. That's what Toronto's always filled with.
False hope. It's great. It's
the year. It's like it used to be us all delusional Sox fans prior to 2004. Like, this is the year, buddy. This is the year.
The crazy thing is that drought for the Maple Leafs. It's getting closer and closer to that Red Sox drought.
Like that's scary.
Like that's scary. We're what, 70 years now? Well, because it was 50. What was it? 50? Was it 1950?
Something like that. It's been a long time. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, and it's 2022. So you do the math, Chris. We're getting there. So,
when my brain sells, I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
But we'll just leave it at that. Let the viewers figure out the rest.
But tomorrow night, Canadians, Bruins. Obviously, you want to see this Bruins team keep rolling. They're 5-1 in their last six. Like we mentioned before, impending return or the expected return of Tuukka Rask is just around the corner. They have a chance right now to make up some ground here. And, you know, picking up wins over teams like the Canadiens are very important. You know, and that was kind of the takeaway from those first couple of victories coming out of the break against Detroit and Buffalo. It's like you want to beat these teams by those type of scores because you believe that you're an elite team in this league and in this conference and everything like that. So you're supposed to beat up those teams. What you're not supposed to do is beat up teams like the Lightning and Capitals, which they did. So that's something to really get excited for. And you hope that tomorrow night they repeat the same type of performance and really beat up on a bad team.
Sounds good to me. Give me 10-0.
I like it. So before we let everyone go, this is a nice little quickie, nice little way to get ourselves back into the game and get ourselves warmed up a little bit. We don't want to overexert ourselves too much because, you know, going back to Chris's brain cell comment, well, you can figure out the rest from there.
I'll be nice, okay? Just keep going.
Yeah.
I've been nice this episode.
Hey, no, this is a very positive, don't push it much longer. This is a very positive episode. That's why we're going to get out ahead of ourselves here, and just say,
we'll see. We have a few times to take a shot. We'll see what happens here.
Well, the thing is, for the Bruins, they just got to keep doing what they're doing, because what they're doing is exactly what I think we all expected them to do at the beginning of the season, and that's play great hockey. Keep the puck out of the net, score a bunch of goals, and win games. I mean, it sounds simple. It sounds obvious.
Bruins hockey.
Yeah, it's Bruins hockey. And they're being physical. And they're getting scoring from different lines. And Tuukka Rask is coming back. So, again, I think there's a lot of things to be hopeful for in the year 2022.
Let's not forget the other shout-out to old Grizzlick, 5 points.
Yes, that's right.
First Bruin.
Who says he's not a top-four defenseman? Come on. Who says he's not a top-four defenseman?
Don't let him get hot, people. But that's the first 5-point game from a defenseman since Bork did it in Colorado.
Wow. That's pretty wild, actually.
When you're mentioned with the Raymond J. Borks of the world, I think you're doing something right. I think you'll be okay.
I think so, too. Too bad we can't reincarnate or bring back the mid-90s or mid-80s to mid-90s
version of
Ray Bork on this
team. 80s Bork was just stupid.
Yeah. But just stupid. That's fantasy land, Chris. We live in reality. That's where our minds are. For the most part. For the most part. When it comes to this, that's where we're at. Okay. We're in reality. Yeah. So the reality of it is, the Bruins are playing pretty good hockey right now. They will have an opportunity to make up these games that they have not. And that's a great sign for this team, who can make up a lot of points very quickly and find themselves very quickly right in the thick of the top of this division and the conference. So, final thought from you, Chris, before we say goodbye to this fantastic audience. And yes, I'm including the ones that bash Tuukka Rask as well.
Just keep playing the way you're doing. It's working right now. There's really not much to say, really, when it comes to the Bruins. They're playing good. So always happy for the time being, besides, you know, the return of Tuukka Rask and the people shitting themselves thinking about it. I think about it. There's going to be a percentage of Bruins fans that Rask could win the cup, and it'd be they did it in spite of him. He wasn't there when they needed him.
Yeah.
Right?
It's almost like one soft goal from like the second round in a game that they won. It's like, I remember when he whiffed on that and be like,
they want them to succeed, but not with Rask. Like, that fucks up their narrative, right?
Hey, that's fine, because that means I'm happy. That's fine with me. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Right. I'm not seeking to convert these folks that are anti-Rask. I mean, they've dug their grave. I'm just saying, like, I'm gonna enjoy the return of the Tuukka. Return of the Tuukka.
Sounds like a shirt.
Yeah. It might have to be. I'll get to work after this. Everyone, if you want to give us a follow on Twitter, it's at Big Bad Bruins Pod. I'm at IGLEN31. And last I checked, he's at Chris_Blackie. That's BLACKEY. Give us a follow. Interact with us. We're going to have a good time here in 2022 as Bruins fans. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
See ya.